Happy New Year! This is your WWE Day 1 pay-per-view review. The first pay-per-view of 2022. I am the Solemn Monster, or I should say, the first premium event of the year. I have to correct myself, they are no longer pay-per-views. You know how I know that? Because half a dozen times on the kickoff show alone, they burned it into our brains. This is a premium event. What you purchased, if you bought this on pay-per-view, and if you are, I don't know why you're buying it on pay-per-view, but if you watch this show tonight, even on Peacock, you got to see a premium event, the first of the entire year. And we heard it about another three dozen times on the pay-per-view. That just reeks of a Nick Khan thing. You know, we have to make them, we have to sex it up a little bit, so... No more pay-per-views. Of course, I'm going to continue to call it a pay-per-view because I've been conditioned to do that my entire life. I'm not going to stop now. Can't stop, won't stop. Boy, we got a lot to get into here. You see some of the breaking news there on the bottom. Happy New Year. Yes, indeed, Smiley. Happy New Year. This entire pay-per-view... See, there I go. This entire pay-per-view tonight was built around one match. That's it. There were other matches on the show. Other championships were defended. But let's be honest. This was a one-match show. Everything was built around Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. And it was built around what is Paul Heyman going to do? Is Paul Heyman even going to be there? The last we saw Paul Heyman, Roman Reigns fired him. And then he was sitting all disheveled on television talking about how his career might be over. Was he going to reunite with Roman? Was it all just a big ruse? Was he going to go back with Brock Lesnar? It is the best storyline, the most interesting story on any brand in all of WWE. There is nothing else on this show, Raw or SmackDown, that is as remotely compelling as that storyline. And what happens when you build everything around one match and you build everything around one person in Roman Reigns is that when tragedy strikes or injury, illness, whatever it might be, as it did tonight, you get fucked. WWE got fucked, and so they had to rebook on the fly and figure out what they were going to do because the big breaking news that came in around 6 o'clock Eastern time tonight is that Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar was canceled. We did not get our main event at day one. And the reason we didn't get our main event at day one is because Roman Reigns tested positive for COVID-19. The one person in this entire company that they could ill afford to lose to injury or illness is the one person who went down with a positive COVID test and who got scratched from the pay-per-view. If you could make a list of all the different names and they had to kind of classify, okay, who's expendable and who's not? There would be two names on the non-expendable list, and that would be Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. And they lost their Universal Champion. So catastrophe struck for WWE. Could not have happened at a worse time. And Roman went on Twitter. And this is very unusual for WWE because WWE supposedly does not want its talent going and telling people that they have COVID. Now, some have done it. Seth Rollins kind of sort of did on Twitter about a week ago, and he was back tonight, so he's fine. But Roman tweeted this out earlier. He goes, I yearn to perform tonight at WWE Day 1 to defend my Universal Championship. However, unfortunately, earlier today I tested positive for COVID-19, and due to proper protocols, I am unable to compete as originally scheduled. I look forward to returning to action as soon as possible. And those protocols that he is referring to there actually changed over the course of this past week. The protocols that he is referring to, the COVID protocols in WWE, the company decided, reportedly, this past week, that they would no longer require testing of main roster talent. Now, I don't know if that also extends to NXT. I believe it does. But there would no longer be mandatory COVID testing for main roster talent. Now, I'm not sure if that applies to vaccinated talent, you know, only WWE has not said anything publicly about this. We are left to the wrestling news websites to talk about this. Talent in the company who may be frustrated leaking things. You know, I can understand WWE maybe not wanting to share names of positives and stuff, but on policy and things of that nature, it's kind of stupid, I think, for them not to just be forthright and say, hey, we've made a change. Here's why. Here's what the change is. So right now, we don't know officially what the deal is, but there was some kind of a change made. Now, it's worth pointing out that Roman has not been on the road for WWE in about 2 weeks, and he only first tested positive today. So this is not a situation where he, you know, got infected at a WWE event or anything like that, because he hasn't been on the road. You know, SmackDown last week was a taped show. They taped two SmackDowns 2 weeks ago, and he has not been at any of the live events. They had one in Tampa. He was supposed to be there. He got pulled, not because he was sick, but because, ironically, they were trying to play it safe because they didn't want to lose Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar. So they pulled him to try to protect themselves and protect him, I guess, and so much for that. But even though you can't really blame, you know, what happened to him on you know, being at a show or whatever, the optics of this are just so bad. The optics are so bad because you've got WWE, they stop testing, and then a week later, their biggest star tests positive, and they lose their pay-per-view main event. So they might want to rethink that policy and maybe hold off on any changes for a little while longer until things die down a little bit. Just a friendly suggestion. But given his medical history, obviously he's had a couple of bouts in the past with leukemia. He is potentially at higher risk than most people. And so the most important thing is that he gets well. That's really all I have to say as far as the Roman Reigns thing is concerned. Wrestling titles, all this WWE bullshit, none of this really matters in the grand scheme of things. The most important thing is that hopefully he'll be fine. And he'll be back to work in the next few weeks or whenever he feels comfortable. But, you know, it is scary, you know, knowing that he's gone through some of the things that he's gone through. You never know how these things could affect you. And so hopefully everything, I'm sure, you know, supposedly he's vaccinated. I'm sure everything is going to be fine with him. But that left Brock Lesnar without an opponent. That left Brock Lesnar without anything to do. What to do with Brock Lesnar? You can't take both guys off the show. They had a pretty packed house in Atlanta tonight. This show had about 10,000 people in the building. Tickets, unlike a lot of other WWE events recently, have been moving really well for this pay-per-view. So what do you do? They only first told people at 6 o'clock tonight that Roman wasn't going to be on the show. So you got to do something with Brock Lesnar. What do you do with Brock? No worries. You do the next best thing. He'll go and win the WWE Championship. Brock Lesnar is the new WWE champion. They inserted him into the main event. A fatal four-way. Well, let's back up here. So originally what was going to be a triple threat became a fatal four-way, and then a fatal four-way became a fatal five-way with Brock Lesnar, Big E, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, and Bobby Lashley. So when I heard the news about Roman, I thought, man, that fucking sucks, because that was the one match I was looking forward to tonight. But on the flip side, we get Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley in the ring, not one-on-one. Not exactly the way I had envisioned and hoped that we would get it one day. But we get Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar in the ring for the very first time. Hey, I'll take it. I'll take it. And that's what we got tonight. We got Lesnar and Lashley, not something I was expecting coming into tonight, with the finish that they did. It sets up some interesting possibilities. Now, I will say this, you know, as I sit here now and I think about what they did tonight, there are going to be a lot of people who are very upset about what they did at the end of this show. The way they jobbed out Big E and how it had to be Big E as the one to get pinned. You had five fucking guys in that match, and the one guy who got pinned was the champion. In a match where the champion did not have to be pinned to lose his title, Big E ate the pin on an F5 from Brock Lesnar. And I know, and I already see it, I know there's going to be a lot of people who are very upset about that, and who don't think it's right, and they don't think it's fair. I think the reason we saw what we saw tonight, if the card doesn't change, Big E walks out tonight as the WWE champion. If Roman Reigns does not test positive and get bounced off the show, I believe that Big E walks out tonight of that Fatal 4-Way as the WWE champion. I think that they had to book on the fly, which you would think is something they are probably used to by now. All the stories we hear about Vince McMahon ripping up scripts 2 hours before the show, they should be used to it by now. But they had a book on the fly. I think they wanted to give the people something to cheer for. Not everybody was cheering, but they want to give people a big moment at the end of the show because they couldn't deliver on their main event. This is the main event of the show. The whole show was built around that match. So I think as a make good to people, they wanted to give them a title change. That's why we ended up with Brock Lesnar winning the WWE title. Until 2 hours ago, actually probably more than that, they probably found out this morning and then it took them all day to figure out what they were going to do. But, you know, go back 6-8 hours, they had no idea that this was going to happen. They had to come up with something on the fly. There's no long-term plan in place, I think, for Brock Lesnar to be WWE champion. You know, I'd be kind of surprised, frankly, if Brock ends up going to WrestleMania with a WWE title. I think they wanted to give people a big moment. This is what they came up with. And yes, it did not make Big E look very good at the end, and I can understand people being upset by it, but, you know, when it was over, I just thought, you know what? I can understand why they did what they did. It didn't bother me all that much. What have I been saying for weeks? And I said this when I did my predictions for this pay-per-view. I said I expected Big E to walk out and still be WWE champion, but I did not in any way see any chance of Big E walking into WrestleMania as the WWE champion. Maybe challenging for the championship, possibly, but not going into WrestleMania as the champion. Because I don't think they look at Big E yet as being at that level. They put the title on him. He won Money in the Bank. Good. And Big E has had a pretty uneventful reign. And I don't think it's his fault. It's just that the way that he's been positioned on the show and the way he's been booked, he doesn't come across as one of the top two or three stars in the entire company. When you are the champion, you should come across as being the guy, one of the top two guys, because they got two champions in the company. I still don't feel like Big E is at that level yet. And it didn't help going into Survivor Series when they do this champion against champion bullshit and having Roman Reigns run right over him. We already know who they see as the real champion in this company. It ain't Big E. It's Roman Reigns. Big E is number two. Yeah, Big E's in the back seat here. You put a poster up, and you got Roman Reigns and Big E and a few other people on there. Who's going to get the front of the poster? Big E or Roman Reigns? So you know where he stands in the pecking order in this company. I did not, but could not envision a scenario in which he goes into WrestleMania as the champion. So this was no surprise to me. I didn't think it would be tonight. But yes, he was going to lose the title. If not tonight, then at the Royal Rumble. And if not at the Rumble, then probably at the Elimination Chamber. But it was only a matter of time. What I came away with when that match ended was, holy fucking shit, Brock Lesnar must really have it out for the New Day. The way that, you know, he did in Kofi Kingston a couple of years ago, the way he did in Big E tonight. If I'm Xavier Woods, I'm a little bit worried. I'm keeping an eye on that crown. I'm keeping that shit under lock and key. Brock Lesnar, no fan of the New Day. That much, we now know that. Brock Lesnar is obviously not, he's not singing and dancing when the New Day come out and make their entrance on the show. But it opens up some interesting possibilities. How long are they planning on keeping this title on Lesnar? I cannot imagine they abandoned the storyline with Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. This is just a brief pause. They're going to pick up with it. I look at the lay of the land and we talk about how there's very few people on these shows who come off as legitimate stars. Few and far between. Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, maybe Bobby Lashley, because I think they've done a good job of actually building him up over the past year. That's it. Who else truly comes across to you as a big star when they come out on these shows? As far as the men are concerned, just focus on the men's roster. It's Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Big E doesn't come across that way. Rollins, Owens, yeah, they're stars, but they're not, you know, they're not in the same category. They're not on the same level. They just don't come out that way. When Brock Lesnar came out for that main event tonight, and I even wrote that in my notes, I go, man, it's a different vibe. When Brock comes out, when that music hits and he walks out there, the guy's a fucking star. There isn't a single other person that I could think of who has that same aura when he walks out. You know, and part of it, he's not as overexposed as everybody else. And he's also, I think, very careful to make sure they don't book him like a fucking jabron. So even though he's been around for a long time, Brock still feels special when he comes out. Having said that, I think that they ought to consider the possibility, now that we have Lesnar as a champion and we have Roman Reigns as a champion, the possibility, however remote it may seem, that we get a title unification between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, possibly at WrestleMania. Because the idea that we have this brand split and we have two champions when, you know, only one of them really comes away even feeling even remotely big, why even bother having two titles? Why bother? If one's going to feel inferior to the other, then you may as well unify them. Have one big main event match, Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar. We already know Roman's the guy. You may as well just make him the champion. It's an idea that I would consider. Do I actually think they're going to go through with it? I don't. The other possibility is, when this event was over, Bobby Lashley was eyeballing Brock Lesnar on the outside of the ring. And they focused in on him too. He was staring at Lesnar. So my hope is that we haven't seen the last of the two of them in the ring, because the moments they had in this match were cool. They were brief. They were fleeting moments. They did a couple of big spots together, but I still want a proper singles match between these two guys, and I can't believe it's taken this fucking long to get these two in the ring together. Now that we've gotten a taste of it, and based on that camera shot that we had at the end there, they also could be setting up for Brock Lesnar defending the WWE title against Bobby Lashley. Bobby didn't get pinned. Big E got pinned. And that really tells you everything you need to know about where he stands in the pecking order in this company. So we're going to run down the main event, which I actually thought was a lot of fun. It didn't last very long. It kind of felt almost like a TV main event. It went about 7 or 8 minutes. One thing that this show was lacking, and there was some good wrestling on this show, and the best match on the show, honestly, the two best matches on the show were the opener and the main event. And pretty much everything that was in the middle was, as MJF would say, kind of mid. So the energy, though, and the atmosphere in the building was very muted. Didn't feel like the crowd outside of the main event and the opener, the crowd really wasn't all that enthusiastic about what they were seeing on this show. Now, maybe somebody who was in Atlanta in the building will chime in and say, well, no, actually, in the building, people were really into everything. It didn't come across that way on TV. There were a lot of really dead spots during the show. I don't know. It just didn't feel like a big deal. But we'll talk about it all. Hit that like button. And also, Super Chats, you'll see them popping up on your screen. I'm going to read all your messages. I'm not ignoring them, I promise you. So we're going to go through all your Super Chats. I'm sure you guys have a lot of opinions and thoughts about what we saw here at the end of the show tonight, just based on what I was seeing on my Twitter timeline here before I went live. I can only imagine. And I got some thoughts on the Raw Women's Championship finish as well, because I think that my thoughts and opinions on what they did might differ from what a lot of people are saying. But I'll explain why I'm right and why you're wrong, because that's what I do. The kickoff match was Sheamus and Ridge Holland against Cesaro and Ricochet. This match was added a couple of days ago. This show was snake-bitten here. I mean, between Roman going down with the COVID diagnosis and being pulled from the show, to what happened here to poor Ridge Holland on the kickoff. They lose their main event, and that's bad enough. These four guys go out there, and they're only a few minutes into the match, and Holland takes a flipping stomp to the face from Ricochet. Cesaro, what he did was he flipped Ricochet. He was doing a standing 450, and he flipped Ricochet into the air, and Ricochet flipped a little too much, and he landed feet first, right on Ridge Holland's face. And they slowed it down. They showed a bunch of replays of it. It looked gnarly. And he immediately rolled out to the floor. Either the doctor or the trainer, somebody came over to check on him and make sure that he was still alive and that he could breathe. You could see he was bleeding from the nose. I'm sure it was swelling and all that. He went to the back, and we didn't see him again. Officially, he has been diagnosed with a broken nose. And so it's actually very appropriate that he's tag team partners and such an admirer of Sheamus, because Sheamus can let him borrow his face mask. And so now we may have Ridge Holland on TV wearing that facial apparatus that Sheamus was wearing for all those weeks. He's going to need it now. He's stealing his gimmick. But this poor bastard, you know, he suffered some pretty gruesome injuries in NXT. When Oney Lorcan did that dive out of the ring and he caught him, his legs buckled. They snapped. I mean, his left leg, his right leg, the ankle, the knee, his legs were just completely and totally fucked. And he had to work his ass off and come back from those injuries. And now, this is a match where I think that this was designed for him to, hopefully for him to go over and for this to be a showcase for him. I figured it would be him getting the winning fall over Ricochet in this match. And instead, he went out early. And that left Sheamus in there all by himself at a one-on-two disadvantage against the babyfaces. So I think for the fact that they had to book the rest of this on the fly without him in there, I thought this ended up being a pretty good match. Sheamus slowed things down with a chin lock, probably while they tried to figure out, okay, we have to recalibrate. Let's figure out what we're going to do here. Ricochet was trying to fight back. Sheamus hit the Irish curse backbreaker for a near fall. Cesaro got the hot tag. He ran wild for a little bit, hit this running uppercut to Sheamus right up against the ringside barricade. Flying crossbody off the top of the ring post for a near fall. He gave Sheamus the giant swing into the sharpshooter, and Sheamus made it to the bottom rope. So then Ricochet came in, and he sent Sheamus to the floor. He went for a plancha. Sheamus caught him with the white noise on the floor, which looked rather painful. And Cesaro, though, caught Sheamus with an uppercut, missed the tackle in the corner, and Sheamus hit the bro kick for the win. So they did a good job, given the injury, of getting things back on track. But again, it sucks, because I think this was going to be, and should have been, a showcase for Ridge Holland. And now, who knows how many weeks, you know, he could be out for. If they could get him on TV, even if he can't wrestle, he's got to be hoping that they get him on TV. The kiss of death would be if he's got to be off television for 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. You know, it's one of those things where it's like out of sight, out of mind, and he doesn't want that. So the quicker he can get back on TV for his sake, the better, even if he can't get physical and actually work a match. So the show opened with Michael Cole informing us about the whole Roman Reigns situation, why we didn't have our main event tonight. Usos were out to defend the SmackDown Tag Team titles against Brock Lesnar's favorite team, The New Day, Kofi Kingston, Sir Kofi, and King Xavier Woods. And, you know, I do wish that they had more teams for each of them to work with instead of it just being the Usos and The New Day over and over and over and over and over and over. I feel like we've been seeing this match over and over since 2016. That's 5 fucking years. And the good part about that, you're always guaranteed to get a very good, if not a great match. So part of me is like, well, I don't want to complain too loudly because we know we're going to get a good match between these two teams. But how many matches between the New Day and the Usos can you get before you just kind of throw your hands up in the air and say, why don't they actually call up and start pushing some real teams? Wouldn't that be a novel idea? There's got to be more than two tag teams in this world that they're willing to push, I would think. Other than them and RK-Bro, there's got to be more teams out there that haven't been buried that they can call up and they could actually push to spice things up a little bit in the tag team division. They haven't done that, but what we ended up with was a great match. These two teams went out there. I feel like they could have matches like this in their sleep. You hear about people sleepwalking and sleep talking. They could sleep wrestle their way through a match like this probably without even thinking about it. There was a Rikishi butt splash in the corner that Jey Uso gave to Kofi Kingston. where Pat McAfee shouted ass to face at the top of his lungs. Like he was a horny teenager who just discovered the categories on Pornhub. He was so excited. I can only imagine, by the way, what the people who live around me are wondering at 11:30 at night, hearing me scream ass to mouth. Or not ass to, what is it? Ass to face. I can only imagine how they're going to think less of me now, but I don't care. Fuck you. Doesn't matter to me. So King Woods got the hot tag, ran wild on Jimmy. Jay jumped in the way of a drop kick to save his brother. Jimmy slammed Woods onto the announce table, and the Usos gave Woods the assisted Samoan drop for a near fall. Kofi tagged back in, hit a double foot stomp and a boom drop to set up for the Trouble in Paradise. Jay countered with a super kick, and Jimmy hit the Uso splash for another near fall. Jimmy went after Kofi's previously injured knee. Kofi and his wife just had another child recently, and they did that injury angle on TV all those weeks ago where they attacked the knee. So they were playing off that storyline injury, put him in a half crab. Kofi made it to the ropes. New Day hit their backbreaker foot stomp combo where Kofi gets the guy across his knee. Xavier comes off the top. It's kind of like Demolition's old finish. Only got a near fall out of it. We got our second This Is Awesome chant at that point of the match. Usos fought back, hit a double super kick to Kofi Kingston, followed up with stereo top rope splashes. I thought that was the finish. I bought that as the finish of the match, but Xavier ran in and broke up the pin. So that was a great near fall. So now both teams have a face-off. We have the Usos standing on one side. We have the New Day standing on the other. It's like when those two Survivor Series teams, they have that standoff and they charge at each other. So the two teams begin brawling. The end came when the Usos caught Kofi with stereo super kicks and they hit the 3D for the win, which Pat McAfee called the 1D. But it was the 3D. I'm sure Bully Ray was like a proud papa at home watching, going, that's great heat, right? Right, Bully? It's great heat. Probably get heat with Bully for using his move. So the Usos retained the tag team titles. This was an excellent match with the right team going over. There would have been no point in another New Day reign right now. You know, and Xavier's got the King of the Ring stuff that he's doing. They don't need the tag team titles again for, what would it even be, the eighth time, ninth time? I'm sure the Usos are probably not too far behind. So it was the right finish. Keep the gold within the bloodline. Winning with the 3D is interesting. And it's interesting because, number one, why would they win with the 3D? That's number one. But it was interesting because I just read about a week ago that there was a WWE tryout down in Orlando. And Devon Dudley, who I believe still works for WWE as a producer behind the scenes. I know he did. I think he still does. He's got twin sons who have been wrestling for years since they were probably teenagers. They were part of that tryout. So they're not rookies. I mean, they've had experience, and I know they were part of the tryout. I don't know what the outcome of that was. So the timing of the Usos using the 3D here is very interesting. It could just be a coincidence, or maybe not. And if they got signed, or they're going to get signed by WWE, if they feel like they're progressing enough or they're good enough, at some point this year, or maybe even in the next few months, you know, could we see them on WWE television? Could this be a little seed being planted for a future match between the Usos and the Dudley twins, I guess? I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I did think that the timing of that was very interesting. They could certainly use some new blood in the tag team divisions on both Raw and SmackDown. We had Drew McIntyre one-on-one against Madcap Moss with Happy Corbin at ringside. This is not a match that really belonged in a premium event. We were told so many times this is a premium event. I don't know. Drew McIntyre against Madcap Moss does not scream premium event to me, but here we are with Happy Corbin rooting on Madcap at ringside. McIntyre gave Moss this belly-to-belly overhead suplex on the floor. I mean, he fucking launched this guy. He had to launch him every bit of 5 or 6 feet on the floor. So that looked great. Moss went for a running charge in the corner at another point. McIntyre moved out of the way, and Moss went just barreling headfirst, kind of just went into the middle turnbuckle at full speed, like warp speed, and just slammed himself headfirst right into the buckle. McIntyre hit a neck breaker, went for the Future Shock DDT. Moss fought back. McIntyre hit a pop-up powerbomb for a near fall. Drew went for a crossbody, but Moss caught him. Now, he fumbled him a little bit, but Drew's a big guy. So he held on to him, but a little bit of a fumble there. And then he hit a fallaway slam. Moss caught McIntyre in the Tree of Woe, but McIntyre pulled himself up, grabbed Moss, and chucked him overhead and suplexed him down to the mat. And in the end, it was a Claymore kick from Drew McIntyre that finished off old Madcap. I know I was going against the grain when I did my predictions and I picked Madcap to win. I knew the destination was going to be Corbin and McIntyre. It just seemed obvious. And I thought, well, the finish of this just seems so predictable to me that we'll get some kind of a finish where Drew loses. But they kept it simple. And it was the right call to make. If it were me, I certainly wouldn't put Madcap Moss over Drew McIntyre. Especially if they're possibly priming McIntyre to be part of that Universal title match at WrestleMania. Maybe even make it a triple threat with him and Brock and Roman. I mean, it's certainly a possibility, I think, because I don't know what else you'd do with Drew McIntyre if he's not part of the championship match at WrestleMania. But it was a good showing for Moss. You know, he's a guy who's been saddled with a lame gimmick. But he's a good athlete. You know, I thought that he was good in this match, but it went a lot longer than it needed to, and it dragged at times. And I think the reason it went longer than it needed to is because they lost their main event. I think just to sort of stretch out the show, some of these undercard matches likely had time tacked on that they were not planning on giving them. So that's why I think this match went longer. I doubt this match was originally going to go as long as it did. McIntyre, later on in the show, he was in the back, and he was attacked by Corbin and Moss, and Corbin attacked him with a chair. They wrapped a chair around Drew's neck. Corbin went, he grabbed a piece of scaffold or like a steel beam and dropped it across the chair, which was placed over Drew's throat. So it came across to me as a way to write Drew off TV for at least a few weeks. So maybe he disappears for 2 or 3 weeks, comes back, and you know, then throws his name into the Royal Rumble, you know, a week or two before the show. But it's ridiculous if he shows up on SmackDown on Friday in a neck brace. You know, like, this came across to me as a way to write him off for at least a couple of weeks with this injury angle. But obviously, we're getting McIntyre and Corbin, probably at the Royal Rumble. It's inevitable. Randy Orton and Matt Riddle defending the Raw Tag Team Championship against the Street Profits, Montez Ford, Angelo Dawkins, the winners of the RK Bronament. Very clever name they came up with that. Orton and Riddle came to the ring with Migos, who sang the song, the official theme song for the Day One pay-per-view. I'm not even sure what the official theme song is, but I know that it was apparently sung by Migos. So Migos were there. You know, when I was in school, I heard Migos, and the first thing I thought of is when I was in elementary school and I took Spanish. Yes, they did. They were teaching us Spanish as one of the subjects when I was in, I think, fifth grade or something. Actually, it might have even been like third grade, but we used to sing this song called Somos Amigos. And I still have it in my head. We'd all sit there and they would force us to sing Somos Amigos means we're friends. Somos amigos, somos. So I see these guys and I'm thinking, oh, somos amigos means we're friends. I don't know why it made me think of that. These guys are not my friends. I don't know. They look very friendly though. Orton and Riddle came to the ring with Migos, and all the members did the Orton douche pose in the middle of the ring. And then they took their seats behind a velvet rope by the announce desk to watch the match. I thought they were going to turn heel. I thought they were going to turn heel on RK-Bro during the match and side with the Street Profits, and we might be getting a Street Profits heel turn. Montez Ford, I don't know, there's something about him. He's giving off these heel vibes to me. Maybe it's the beard. You know, maybe he's got the heel beard. I don't know what it is. But I've been saying this for probably a couple of years now, going back to NXT. Montez Ford as a singles heel, that is where the money is with Montez Ford. And I've talked about pairing him off with Bianca Belair if she goes, you know, heel again at some point. But Montez Ford, singles heel, that is, I'm telling you, I got those vibes tonight. Like, maybe they're inching their way towards that. Because there was even a point early in the match when he got into the ring with Orton, and Orton thought that there was going to be, like, a clean break, and then he chopped him. Like, there were just, I don't know, there were little things here that, you know, made me think, maybe it's coming sooner than some people think. And if that happens, it's the beginning of the end for Angelo Dawkins. So, sorry, buddy, but I'm telling you, Montez is going to break away one day, and if they play their cards right, and we all know that cards is not WWE's best game, they pretty much suck at it, but everybody gets lucky every now and then. They play their cards right, he can be a star for them. How big is up to him and up to them, but he could definitely be a single star for them. So the Street Profits isolated Riddle for a little bit. Orton tagged back in, hit back-to-back snap power slams, one to Ford, one to Dawkins, double draping DDT from the ring apron, and he went for the RKO. Montez Ford turned it into a roll-up for a near fall. Riddle was setting up for a springboard move on Dawkins when Montez shoved him off the top to the floor. So Orton and Riddle were both on the floor behind one of the ring posts. And so Montez Ford, as we've seen him do many times before, he gets a running start and he does a running dive out over the ring post, cannonball dive out over, wipes out RK-Bro on the floor. Back inside, Orton set up for a superplex. Ford fought free and gave Orton a headbutt. Ford went for a frog splash. Orton avoided it. And Matt Riddle re-entered, and he propelled Montez Ford up into the air. And as he came down, Orton caught him with an RKO. And Ford sold it great. He sold it like death. Orton covered him, and they retained the tag team titles. The SmackDown tag team title match was much better than this. This was still good. It was not great like that SmackDown match was, but this was good. After the match, Orton invited Migos into the ring to celebrate. Street Profits came back inside, and everybody shook hands. So, you know, I look at the state of the tag team division right now on Raw. We have Randy Orton and Matt Riddle have been tag team champions for many months. They are easily the most overact on Monday Night Raw. People love Randy Orton. People love RK-Bro. I think, you know, a lot of the stuff they do and that they have Riddle doing is so fucking goofy and corny, but it's over. The people dig it. So they have the tag team titles. No reason to take the belts off them right now. That's why this was the right finish. Unless the Profits were going heel, then they should have won. So they're the tag team champions. That leaves us with the Street Profits have been beaten. That leaves us with Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio, right? And they lost to the Street Profits. But we've got Rey and Dominic. We've got Rude and Ziggler. We've got the Alpha Academy. We've got the Hurt Business, who are basically just the job guys at this point. Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin are enhancement talent on that show. I don't even know why they decided to put them back together if they weren't going to do anything with them. And what else? Who am I missing? Well, maybe they could put Apollo Crews together with Commander Aziz if they want them to be a tag team. But that's it. That's all you're really left with. Not a very inspiring tag team scene right now on Monday Night Raw. So I don't know where Orton and Riddle go from here. You know, you're not going to break them up yet. Still seems very premature to do that. I think that would be the wrong move. Not yet. But not a lot of competition for RK-Bro going into WrestleMania season. Kayla Braxton was in the back, and she knocked on Brock Lesnar's dressing room door. And out came the Beast, and he emerged in his trusty flannel. And he did his own version of a Paul Heyman introduction for himself. He said that he was a free agent thanks to his advocate, Paul Heyman. And so therefore, he could pretty much do what he wants and he could challenge for whatever championship he wanted to challenge for. And so he is going to walk out tonight as the new WWE heavyweight champion of the world. And he looked into the camera and he said, and that's not a prediction. He said, that, my folks, is a spoiler. And he winked and he walked off. And boy, was he right. He didn't lie. He told the truth. He did, in fact, give us a spoiler. See, people are naming great legendary tag teams in the chat. Why don't we just bring those guys back? Let's bring Demolition. Demolition can barely walk at this point. Let's bring back Demolition. Let's bring back the Powers of Pain and Power and Glory. Well, I guess Power and Glory, it'd be kind of hard to do that since one half of them is no longer among the living. But they got to get some competition in that tag team division. It's one of the reasons, it's definitely one of the upper hands that AEW has over WWE. If anything, they have an over-reliance on tag teams, but they got plenty. I mean, the tag team division in that company compared to the tag team division right now in WWE, you got to be kidding me. I mean, there is no comparison at all. And it's not as if they don't have talent down in NXT that they could do something with, but it's just not a priority. Tag team wrestling has just not really been a priority for WWE for a long time. So up next, we had Edge against The Miz with Maryse. And let me just take a quick pause here to welcome everybody who is joining me tonight. This is the first pay-per-view. Yes, I'm still calling them pay-per-views. The first pay-per-view recap here for 2022. A lot of you joined me last night on the New Year's Eve stream to ring in the new year. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for all of our new subscribers. And do hit that thumbs up before you head out. But we had Edge and we had The Miz. And Edge got the Brood entrance with the music. Just still badass. Coming up through the floor with the flames all around him. And he walks halfway down the ramp. And then he switched over to the Alter Bridge music. So basically the entrance that he got at SummerSlam. I would not be opposed to him adopting that as his permanent pay-per-view entrance. On every pay-per-view, he comes out to the Brood theme, he comes up through the floor, he goes halfway down the aisle, and then they play the Metal Angus song. I will never get old. I will get old. I will never get tired. It will never get old, is what I meant to say, seeing the Brood entrance. Unfortunately, I will get old, and so will all of you. So enjoy your youth while you still can. Edge is looking very old these days. Edge is looking like the grizzled vet. What is he now, 46, 47? As MJF would say when I tried to think of what word I could use to sum up my thoughts on this match here, I thought to MJF. Mid. This match was very mid. And I knew it would be coming in. I mean, I said as much. I mean, the build to this that they put together over the last few weeks was very uninspired. This was the most boring of all of Edge's matches since the match, the last man standing match that he had with Randy Orton at last year's, I guess it would have been 2 years ago now. 2 years ago, WrestleMania 36. I was not a fan of that match and how long that match was. Pretty much everything Edge has been involved in since then, including the follow-up with Orton. He won the Royal Rumble. He had great matches with Roman Reigns and with Daniel Bryan and that great trilogy with Seth Rollins that, you know, culminated in the Hell in a Cell match. So Edge has been on a roll as far as his matches. The matches and the promos and everything. It's not just about the in-ring. The guy's been on fire. And the guy literally came up tonight through a ring of fire. But then he went out there and the bell rang and he's in there with the fucking Miz. And all we've had for weeks are dueling talk show segments. We have The Cutting Edge and we have Miz TV and then we have Miz TV again. And then they're going to renew their vows and he's going to dump black paint on them. It's like, this is literally paint by numbers shit that they've been doing. So to save this, they had to go out there tonight and knock it out of the park, and they didn't. They had a very bland, very basic match that really was only designed to build to what came at the very end. That was the payoff. The match itself was almost incidental. It's like, well, we have to get through this match. There was a lot of interference from Maryse, again, by design to set up what was coming later on in the match. She got up in Edge's face outside very early in the match. Miz shoved Edge into the ring post. And then things slowed to a crawl. While Miz worked over Edge's knee. Always very exciting. I just, you know, you could tell that story, but I feel like we see that so often in these matches where it's always working over the knee. It's always the knee. Why don't you work over a different body part for a change? It's one of the things I like about Pete Dunne, right? And all the joint manipulation shit that he does in NXT. He's working over the fingers. You know, if you take somebody's fingers and you bend them backwards, right? People always wince. Because they know that if they had their fingers bent backwards, that's going to fucking hurt. Like, people know, like, oh, God, you know? So I always kind of like the fact that he would work over, you know, other body parts other than just the knee. But we got a lot of knee work here in this match. Miz went for the skull-crushing finale on the announce table. Edge countered and dropped him face first on the desk. And Edge hit a flying crossbody for a near fall. Miz went for the skull-crushing finale again, but Edge rolled him up for two. And Miz went back to work on the leg. He applied a figure four. Edge reversed it. Miz got out of it, went for the STF, but Edge broke free. Miz gave Edge a slingshot, and Edge took sort of a slow slingshot up into the top turnbuckle. And Miz rolled him up with his feet on the ropes, but Jessica Carr saw the feet on the ropes and would not let Miz get away with it. Edge got the crossface on Miz. Maryse placed Miz's foot on the rope to save him. It looked like he was moments away from getting ready to tap out here. Maryse saved her husband, and Edge and Miz rocked each other with dueling boots to the face at the exact same moment, so both guys went down. Edge gave Miz a hip toss off the top rope and then went for the spear. Miz did a leapfrog to avoid it. When Miz came down from the leapfrog, he started selling the knee, and he's selling his knee now. And that gets the referee's attention. With the referee's attention diverted, Edge is kind of hanging over the middle rope. Maryse whacks him in the head with her purse. And Miz hits the skull-crushing finale for a near fall. So Maryse jumps up on the apron. She's yelling at the referee. And all of a sudden, Miz looks like he has seen a ghost. He's looking at something that we can't see because the camera is focused on him. Camera is focused on the ring. Miz is looking down the aisle. We all know who it was, but, you know, Miz is looking down the aisle, and he looks like he's seen a ghost, and he's looking at Maryse and pointing and telling her to turn around, and the crowd is starting to stir a little bit, and I'm just waiting for them to change the camera angle so we can see what the fuck the commotion's all about. And finally, we get the cameras to show us that it is Beth Phoenix. It is Beth Phoenix, who recently retired from the NXT announce booth. She, of course, is Edge's better half. And Beth Phoenix is standing in the aisle, and she is making these over-the-top, mean faces. She's making these mean faces. She's mean mugging the camera, and she's just standing there. And I'm watching, and I'm waiting for something to happen. There's no music or anything. She's just standing there. And then finally, after what feels like an eternity, they play her Glamazon music. And then she starts to make her way down the aisle. I was like, thank God Kevin Dunn played her music. Or else she might still be standing there. I could just picture the event is over. Everybody is taking the ring down. And Beth Phoenix is still standing there making mean faces. And I had people tweet me about this. And I thought of the exact same thing. When Vampiro at Triple Mania a few years ago, he was sitting at ringside. There was something going on in the ring. And the spot was his music would play. And he would stand up from the announce booth and he would go and make the save or whatever it was that he was going to do. But he's just sitting there at the announce booth and he's refusing to get up and refusing to go to the ring. And he's saying into the headset, play my music, play my... And he finally gets, you know, he's like exasperated and he goes, play my fucking music. Where's the fucking music? He's just standing there and the people in the ring are waiting for him. And it wasn't until they finally played his music that he decided to go and get up and go into the ring. I think Conan was in the ring, probably. I think he was. But that's what that reminded me of. But she's just standing there. And she's like, she's just frozen. I mean, look, seriously, you got to see the woman's face here. Look at that. Look at that. Now you got to picture her standing there for what felt like 45 seconds. Oh. You know what that looks like? It looks like she stepped on a nail or a tack or something. She needs like a tetanus shot. All right, that's the face that I would make if I stepped on like a fucking Lego or something. All you dads out there, I'm sure you know that pain. I bet that's the face that you make, right? Either that or maybe you're a little irregular. Maybe she needs a little more bran, a little more fiber in her breakfast, perhaps. I don't know what's going on with that hairdo. Obviously, she's going for a particular, like maybe like a road warrior type look. I don't know, but poor woman was like, she was frozen. Like she was trapped in carbonite or something. I don't know what was going on. Anyway, enough of that. So then finally, when her music plays, she begins to walk at a brisk pace down to the ring. She's not even running. She's just kind of walking fast. And she's circling the ring like a shark. She's circling around the ring. Maurice just has hightailed it up the aisle. She wants nothing to do with this woman. So Maurice is already out of there. And Miz is looking outside and he starts yelling at Beth and he's, you know, talking trash to her and she starts talking trash back to him. Miz turns around, Edge is waiting for him with a spear. 1, 2, 3, Edge picks up the win. It is nice to, it's nice to see Beth Phoenix back. You know, when she came back at the Royal Rumble a couple of years ago, she looked great, you know, and she got busted open and she kept going. Like she had this great showing in the Rumble match. And I'm sure, you know, when we get the inevitable tag team match, she'll be, you know, she'll be in her comfort zone and she'll probably look really good in the ring and her and Maurice will mix it up. But, you know, this match went exactly the way that I said it would. I said it was going to be underwhelming. I said this is shaping up to be the worst Edge match that we've had probably in the better part of a year or more. And that's exactly what it was. It was a very mid kind of match. That was all building to this one moment. It was building to what is eventually clearly going to be a mixed tag team match. And the only question at this point, really, is when do they do the match? Do they do it at the Royal Rumble? Do they save it for the Elimination Chamber show? Or, you know, if they want to give Beth Phoenix a chance to be in the ring at WrestleMania, do they stretch things out? I don't see how they stretch things out for 3 months. Other than the only way I can see them doing this and making this work, because I don't trust these people at all to have enough creativity in their head to keep this interesting for 3 months when the last 3 weeks has barely been interesting. You think they're going to keep this interesting for 3 months? The only way would be to write Edge off with some kind of an injury angle. And Edge goes away 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. And then he shows up and they set up the tag match for WrestleMania. They've done that before. We saw that with Undertaker and Kane. Remember when Kane put Undertaker in the casket and set the casket on fire at the Royal Rumble? We didn't see Undertaker for many, many weeks until finally he reemerged on Raw and they set up the match for WrestleMania. That's about the only way to make this work, because if you think they're going to find a way to keep this interesting for 3 months, then I don't know what the fuck you've been watching. You clearly have not been watching the same show that I've been watching. So if it were me, I would love to get this over with at the Rumble. I would love to get this over with next month. and put Edge in a match at WrestleMania against somebody like an AJ Styles. Even Kevin Owens. You know, in New York, they just did Owens and Edge for the first time ever in a steel cage in Madison Square Garden the other night. You know, I had a couple of friends who were at the show who said it was a great match, and they can't wait to see them work a program on pay-per-view. Why not WrestleMania? I would much rather see either of those matches than Edge and Miz. But I fear they may want to stretch this out until April. Good luck with that. We had Becky Lynch against Liv Morgan for the Raw Women's Championship. Becky came out wearing a jacket that said goat on the back, and she had little baby goats, like stuffed animal baby goats or something, on her shoulders. I would hope they're not actual stuffed baby goats, because what a monster she would be if that were the case. Morgan was showing a lot of fire early in this match. Liv Morgan came out, and she was smiling, and, you know, you would think, oh boy, you know, she's got a smile on her face that she hasn't, you know, been able to take off since she came out. She's been smiling this whole time. Maybe she's really going to win the championship. The way they built this match up, it was built perfectly for a Liv Morgan win here. Everything they've done, Liv losing the last match, coming back, those promos and talking about how hard she's worked. And, you know, I'll tell you, you even check social media, she's got a lot of fans. Liv Morgan has a lot of fans who are rooting her on. She even said that she found Angry Liv Girl from a few weeks ago when she lost to Becky on Raw. And they zoomed in on that one little girl in the crowd who had that sour puss on her face because, you know, she thought she was at an AEW Dynamite show and then she realized she was a Monday Night Raw. Yeah, I'd probably have the same face. So she claimed, I think, that they found her. They found the girl and she wanted to invite her to the show tonight. And I thought, boy, you know, that would be borderline child abuse if you invited this child to the show after letting her down. And then she lost again. So if she's inviting the girl to come to day one, maybe they really are going to put the championship on her. Of course, I told you that that would be the wrong move for them to make. I was actually very happy that they didn't cave. They didn't cave to the pressure of the feel-good moment here for Liv Morgan. I'll tell you why here in a second. But she was the aggressor early on in this match. She tried putting Becky's own disarmer finisher on her, and Becky escaped. Becky came back, hit a weak-looking leg drop on Liv, who is hanging over the middle rope. And Liv followed that up with an exploder for a near fall. She was growing increasingly frustrated, was the champion, as the match progressed, that she couldn't put this woman away. Liv fought back, sent Lynch face first into the turnbuckle. And she missed a tackle in the corner, but hit a drop kick off the second rope. Becky fought back with a suplex, locked on an armbar, but Liv broke free, and she climbed up to the top rope. Becky cut her off, and Becky went for a superplex. She was trying to superplex Liv Morgan. Morgan slipped out, and then she kind of ran up the ropes and twisted her body and hit this twisting sunset bomb. It actually looked really good. It actually looked great. That was like the best spot of the entire match from Liv Morgan. She hit this great-looking sunset bomb, only got a near fall out of it. But she didn't take advantage, and she gave Becky an opening, and Becky locked on the disarmer. Liv made the ropes. Becky wouldn't break the hold. So Becky went for a leg drop. She missed. She landed on her ass, and Morgan hit a missile drop kick. Becky rolled to the floor. Morgan hit a suicide dive out onto her. So Becky slammed Liv's head on the announce table. She was trying to win the match by count out, and Morgan beat the count. Becky threw her back out. Morgan fought back and trapped Becky in the ring steps. Becky did something similar to her on TV a few weeks ago when she was, she had Liv, her arm was kind of wedged in between the holes on the ring steps and she was trying to injure her arm. So Liv got a measure of revenge here, and then back in the ring, she locked on the rings of Saturn. But Becky kind of rolled backwards with her momentum and had Liv's shoulders pinned to the mat. Liv kicked out. Then came the finish. Now, I'm sure this finish in their mind came off a lot better than it came across here in actual execution. Liv went for her finish, the Oblivion. And when she kind of dove into the ropes and went for it. It came across very, very clunky. It did not look good. It did not look good. Very sloppy looking. The idea is that Becky turned it into the manhandle slam. So when Liv jumped into the ropes, Becky kind of stopped her and then slammed her down. And Becky Lynch, the idea was that she was going to win the match with her feet on the ropes. She was too far away from the ropes. Her legs were too short. So she's extending her legs back to try to get them on the rope, but she was too far away. So she pinned Liv Morgan. So the finish was kind of botched. It's clear whatever she was trying to do, she didn't succeed in doing it. So not only did that whole sequence look sloppy and look bad, but the finish was botched as well. But the outcome was still the same, which is that Becky Lynch retains her Raw Women's Championship. For the second time, she has beaten Liv Morgan, and so ends the Liv Morgan push, because now Liv Morgan has lost twice to Becky Lynch, and there is absolutely no reason for Liv Morgan to come back and get a third match. Not that they won't try to do it, and we might get another match on TV, but think about it. I mean, what would be the point in her getting a third title match, especially the way this finish came off? She pinned her. She pinned her clean. There's no need for a rematch. And so that is the end of this little Liv Morgan push, which sucks for her. And she has worked hard, and Liv Morgan has done some of her best work over these last several weeks on promos. She's gotten more television time than she's ever got. She got more television time in the last 4 or 5 weeks than she ever got as part of the Riot Squad. Or when they did that little lesbian tease angle with her and Lana, remember that? That lasted about 2 weeks. So this was her moment to shine. I think she did the best she could, and I think she has definitely shown improvement, and good for her on that front. This was the correct finish. I know all the Liv Morgan fans don't want to hear that. And, oh, you know, they had a chance to make a new star. This was never about Liv Morgan. And that's the problem. I think people looked at this and they convinced themselves this was a Liv Morgan push to get Liv Morgan over. They were going to use Becky Lynch to get Liv Morgan over, and they can create a brand new star on that Raw brand. When in recent times have they shown you any real interest in creating all of these new stars? Bianca Belair got over as a star in 2021, right? She won the Royal Rumble. She won the championship in the main event of WrestleMania. She had that really good series of matches on TV with Doudrop. Right? Picked her up a few weeks ago. Like, it looked really impressive. She has survived despite that awful fucking booking at SummerSlam where she got beaten and made to look like a moron in 26 seconds. She has somehow been able to semi-recover from that, where she's not completely buried 6 feet under. But who else have they made? Look what they've done with Rhea Ripley. Nikki Ash got a little bit of a push for a few weeks, and that went to the wayside. What other stars have they created? This was never about creating a new star in Liv Morgan. This was to give Becky Lynch something to do to buy time between now and WrestleMania. That's all this was. Becky needs opponents to beat before we get to April. That's it. And it's the right finish because the story to tell is Bianca Belair, after the way she was fucked at SummerSlam, to go to WrestleMania and to give back her championship and be the one to beat Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch has been a champion every single day that she has been on the main roster, going back to WrestleMania 35, when she won the championship against Charlotte and Ronda Rousey. So not counting the time that she missed because of maternity leave, she has been a champion every single day. Not one day has gone by where that woman has not had a championship. We are heading into WrestleMania 38. Why would you break that streak when you're so close to WrestleMania and you can do it on that stage? You're not going to do it on Raw. You're not going to do it at day one. What's so special about day one? It's just another show. It's not like they put any kind of effort to make the show look and feel any different tonight. The set looked the same. Everything looked the same. It's just a different logo. There's nothing special about this show. Since WrestleMania 35, she has been a champion. You're close to WrestleMania 38. Bianca goes to WrestleMania and ends 3 years in, she's finally the one to take that title from Becky, and she gets some comeuppance for what happened to her at SummerSlam, which never should have happened in the first place. We still don't know, by the way, what the hell happened with Sasha Banks. We were supposed to get Sasha and Bianca. We didn't get that match. That's the story to tell. Liv Morgan is the sacrificial lamb. I know some people don't like that, but that's the way it is. You convinced yourself to believe that this was about Liv Morgan. This was never about Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan was the useful tool to use. She was the warm body to put in there to feed to Becky Lynch. Nothing more, nothing less. But she got TV time out of it. And now she'll go right back to where she was before. But the match at WrestleMania is Becky Lynch against Bianca Belair. We had an announcement from Johnny Knoxville. This broke earlier today, but they showed his Instagram video where he announced that he was in training to enter the Royal Rumble match. Now, I don't think he mentioned which Royal Rumble match. Maybe he's going to enter the women's Royal Rumble match. But he is planning on entering the women's... That's not a spoiler. He's going to be entering the Royal Rumble match. He's got a new movie coming out, Jackass Forever. It literally comes out a few days, like less than a week after the Royal Rumble. So they're going to do... In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the Royal Rumble was... presented by Jackass Forever. I mean, the Royal Rumble is going to be presented by a bunch of jackasses, we know that, but I would not be at all surprised if they do some kind of movie tie-in, you know, for the Rumble this year. So he is going to be in the Rumble match. First of all, if he's going to be in the match, he needs to come out to the old Jackass theme song. That's number one. Number two, I want Walter in the Royal Rumble match. If for no other reason, if he only makes one appearance and then he goes away, I want Walter in the Royal Rumble match to chop the ever-loving shit out of Johnny Knoxville. That would make it all worth it. A nice Walter chop to welcome him to WWE and then toss him out of the ring. That would make it worth it. Because I know people are going to be upset. They're going to say, you know, well, he's taking up a spot. You know, I can't even be mad about him taking up a spot in the Royal Rumble match. Who is that spot going to go to? Who are they even going to have? Are they going to have 30 people? The way they've been getting rid of people left and right, between that and all these COVID positives, are they even going to have 30 people to put in the Royal Rumble match? Do they have 30 women to put in the women's match? What spot is Johnny Knoxville taking up that is so important that you honestly believe they would use to get somebody else over? Are you out of your mind? That's going to be a spot that goes to fucking Dana Brooke in some 24/7 bullshit. She'll be in the men's Royal Rumble match, or it's going to go to some other person they're not going to do anything with. So if they have their little celebrity tie-in, as long as he you know, eats an RKO or he gets a Walter chop or whatever it might be, who cares? Who cares? This is the same company that gave us fucking zombies on television last year. An entire zombie invasion during one of their pay-per-views. Nothing surprises me at this point. You know, when Drew Carey came into the Royal Rumble in 2001, he was in, he was out. He tried to pay off Kane, he jumped over the top rope, and he was gone. And that was stupid, too. It was dumb. But at the same time, it was completely inoffensive. I'm not just saying that because, oh, you know, you probably enjoyed it back then. No, it was stupid back then, too. I got more pleasure out of the Honky Tonk Man being in the Royal Rumble match that year. That was funny. He's coming in. He's going to sing his song. He's doing the Honky Tonk Man dance that he does, right? He does that Honky Tonk Man thing. And then Kane hits him in the head with the guitar, right? Takes that guitar and hits him right over the head with it. Now, that's entertainment. But these some of these celebrity cameos and this bullshit that they do, I have no use for. But at the same time, who cares? Because that spot is just going to go to somebody else who's going to get dumped out of the ring in 90 seconds, and it's not going to make a fucking difference anyway. So who cares? I cannot even bring myself to get angry about it. There's a lot of things I can get angry about. That ain't one of them. I am not going to waste my energy on it. Main event was a fatal five-way for the WWE Championship. We had Big E, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley, and Brock Lesnar. And when Brock Lesnar walks out, man, it is just a different vibe. It really just hits differently when Brock comes out. Business, if Jim Ross were on commentary, he would be talking about how business is about to pick up. He's a special talent, and he doesn't have to do much. It's just him. His mere presence makes the match feel bigger than it otherwise would if he wasn't in the match. So, and people are digging the babyface turn. He comes out, he gets this monster pop. And I'm getting excited because they're showing Bobby Lashley in the ring and Brock's staring at Lashley, and Lashley is staring at Brock. And I'm like, all right, I've been waiting for this. This is going to be good. So I'm excited. I was not expecting on this pay-per-view tonight to get Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. So I was all amped up coming into this match, but it was interesting that Brock entered the match last. Now, we all know he is the main attraction in the match. I don't care who the champion is. You know Brock is going to be positioned as the main attraction. But it was telling that Big E is the WWE champion coming into this, and he doesn't get to enter the match last. Brock Lesnar enters the match last. That really tells you everything you need to know right there. Lesnar and Lashley for the first time ever. We would have to wait a few minutes. They didn't go at it right away. Lesnar immediately starts suplexing Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. And he is throwing them around like a couple of small children. German suplexes to both guys. F5 attempt on Rollins. Owens saves Rollins. Because remember, they were teasing that they were going to work together, possibly. Although Owens said that they wouldn't work together, but then it looked like they were going to work together. So he saved Rollins, but then for his efforts, Kevin Owens eats a German suplex. Big E is back into the ring, clotheslines Lesnar out to the floor. Lashley slams Big E into the ring post on the outside. Then he looks and he sees Brock Lesnar, who is trying to get up from after being clotheslined out to the floor by Big E. He's trying to collect himself. He's over by the barricade by the timekeeper's area. So we know where this is going, right? We know where this is headed. And Lashley is getting ready, and he's kind of setting up for the spear, and he comes charging in, and he spears Lesnar right through the barricade over by the timekeeper's area, and everybody is cheering and yelling, and Lesnar is just laid out on the floor. Rollins and Owens, they continue working together, and Rollins is holding Lesnar down on the floor about a minute later while Owens comes off the ring apron with a frog splash to Brock. Then they picked up the ring steps. They took out Lashley with the ring steps. So smart strategy. They're trying to take out the big monsters in this match. They cleared off the announce desk. They tried to put Lashley through it, but he fought out. Big E came over, and Big E put Lashley with a Uranage through the announce desk. Owens and Rollins attack Big E, and then they hit a double DDT to Brock Lesnar on the ring steps. So, again, Lashley laid out. Brock Lesnar laid out on the floor. Big E was all alone in the ring against the two of them. He started to make a comeback. Owens, though, hit a pop-up powerbomb for a near fall. Owens makes the climb to the top rope, hits a senton, but Big E got the knees up. But look out, because as soon as he gets the knees up, Rollins is already in midair, and he comes off the top, and he hits a frog splash, only gets a near fall out of it. Rollins, with strikes, he hits the rolling elbow, goes for the stomp to Big E, but guess who slides back into the ring? That big guy, oh, there he is, right there. That big guy right there, Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar slides inside, and he picks up Rollins on his shoulders, hits the F5 to Seth Rollins. He picks up Big E, hits the F5 to Big E. Owens tries for a stunner. He eats an F5. Lesnar turns around, and Bobby Lashley hits him with a spear and takes down the beast. Only gets a two count, though. That was a great near fall. He thought he had the match won. You knew he didn't, but great near fall. Lashley then applies the hurt lock to Brock Lesnar, and he's got him in the hold for a few seconds. Big E, though, signs his own death warrant, basically. He attacks from behind and hits the big ending to Lashley. He goes to give Brock the big ending, but Brock slips out. He picks up Big E on his shoulders, hits the F5. Big E lands right on his fucking head, right on his head and shoulder on the way down. And Brock Lesnar pins Big E to win the WWE Championship. So this is not a case where Brock Lesnar pinned Kevin Owens or pinned Seth Rollins, and Big E can say, well, you didn't pin me, right? Or they set up some kind of a rematch. No, they made it pretty decisive. He pinned the WWE champion to win the WWE title. And I don't know how many WWE titles that is for Brock. It's got to be at least five, right? Five or six, probably. He's held that championship. Universal is a different title lineage. He was a three-time WWE champion when he left the company in 04, right? So since then, I mean, I think he's won it at least twice, right? So this would have to be number five or six, I think, for him. I've lost track. But I just wrote here, I go, man, Brock Lesnar must fucking hate the New Day. He beats Kofi Kingston in 8 seconds to win the WWE Championship. Tonight, it took him 8 minutes, and he wins the WWE Championship from Big E. And as I said, if I were Xavier Woods, I would be putting that crown under lock and key and hiding somewhere. Because you're next, buddy. But I told you. I told you Big E was not going into WrestleMania as the champion. And the fact that they took the title off him and he ate the pin, I think it speaks volumes. It could have been anybody else who ate the pin in that match. From the time that they made their entrances and Brock came out last and not Big E, to Big E being the one to take the losing fall, it's all right there. They told you exactly where Big E stands in the pecking order in this company. It's just the way it is. And they wanted to do the title change because they felt they owed the fans something because they didn't deliver on the main event that they promised. Which is the only reason why Brock Lesnar walked out of there as the WWE champion tonight. But make no mistake, Big E was going to drop that title at some point in these next several weeks. There's not a doubt in my mind whether Brock was in this match or not. It was only a matter of time. He was not going to go into WrestleMania as the champion without at least first losing that title. It just wasn't going to happen. It's not as if they had any real challengers set up for him anyway. That's part of the problem. Who does he go into WrestleMania to defend against? They were already giving you Owens and Rollins and Lashley tonight. You're going to do Lashley again? Lashley and Big E at WrestleMania? They don't have anybody else. Austin Theory? You got to put him in there with Vince McMahon's Eggman? I mean, who else do they have? But he ended up feeling like a complete afterthought out there, did Big E. And now we see. Now we wait and see. What are the plans here for this? They came up with this today. What do they want to do? Do they want to keep the title on Brock for a while? Do they immediately take it off him in the next few weeks? Do they, you know, have Bobby Lashley cost him the title? Or do they set up for Lesnar and Lashley one-on-one? I would love to see Lesnar and Lashley one-on-one. It was nice to see them tonight. It was exciting to see them tonight. Right? Nice hoss fight between these two big guys. But you got to get the one-on-one match. And now it's right there. It's right there. Brock's the champion. Bobby's on Raw. He wants the WWE title. So if ever there was a time to do the match, here it is. Do you do it at the Rumble? Do you do it at WrestleMania? The problem is this storyline with Roman Reigns is not over. I cannot see it being WrestleMania. I think there's a much better chance of it being at the Royal Rumble. And then Heyman and/or Reigns factors into that. Brock loses the title. Lashley probably ends up with the belt back. I think it's very likely he'll end up with the championship. And then maybe Big E chases him to try to get the belt back at WrestleMania. But they're going to have to come back to this Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns stuff. The other idea is the unification idea that I mentioned earlier. You want to have one unified champion? If you insist on continuing with the brand split, you could still have one unified champion who defends on both shows. Not unlike what they did with the women's tag team titles. Or you could just do away with the brand split altogether because it's not as if they've ever really taken it seriously anyway. So they have a couple of different options. They have a couple of different options here. But I enjoyed that main event. Finish didn't really bother me. I thought it was a fun match. And I love the opener as well. Everything else in the middle was just middle of the road. Didn't really feel like an overly special show. But now, in a few weeks, we have the Royal Rumble. We have one more pay-per-view this month from WWE. Another Saturday night show coming up on the 29th. It's going to be the Royal Rumble. I think they are in, where are they? Are they in Minnesota? I think they're in Minnesota. It's another Stadium Rumble show. And I feel like we've had some fun ones in recent years, so the Rumble might end up being a fun show. It should become clear in the next week or so exactly what direction, other than Johnny Knoxville, what direction they're going to go in with it. I guess we'll have to see. Let's take a look at the poll. 42% thumbs up, 33% roughly, 33% thumbs in the middle, and 25% thumbs down. So the thumbs up has it right now. This is a thumbs up show to most people. You know what, though? I would say that those numbers look about right to me. Honestly, the opening match and the main event were the only matches really worth a damn, honestly, on this show. And so you open strong, you close strong. I wouldn't go past 50%. 42, that sounds about right to me. If you want to vote, at Solomonster is my handle on Twitter. You can go ahead and do so. Would love to hear from you guys. And I'm going to hear from you guys right now. That was a lot of fans. That was their face at the end of the pay-per-view when they saw Big E get pinned by Brock Lesnar. Angry face. Look at that. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Let's read your super chats. If you have questions or comments, if you want to support the stream, you're not obligated to, but I appreciate every single one of you for doing so. Jay Baker with the $1.99, Brock and Lashley at the Rumble confirmed. I think you're probably right about that. I think that's the likely scenario that we're headed for. And that is a match I can get behind. The only question is, does Roman wrestle on that show, and if so, against who? A lot of that depends on, you know, when he is ready to come back. Andre Israel has been a channel member for 10 months. Says, you got to make that Beth face a super chat now. Oh, you bet your ass I will. After all the super chats that were coming in last night during the New Year's stream, I might have to make that the new high value. We got to go higher than 150. We got some real loyalists here. We might have to go 200 on that one. Jay, thank you, though. Rizzo with the $20 super chat. I don't hate the ending as much as I did when Brock beat Kofi. Big E had a run, and unfortunately for him, it was not working. Curious where they go now in regards to Roman. Hulk Hogan with the $5 super chat. Hank Hill would kill Brock Lesnar with a case of Alamo and a tank of propane. I'll tell you what. Shout out to Beal. Beal Gates in the chat. Beal Gates. Thank you, Beal Gates, for joining me. I appreciate it. Mr. E1976, here's to the tip jar. Thanks for all you do. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to you as well, Mr. E. Roderick Welch, $5 super chat. There's Asuka, popped up over my super chats. Damien from Newcastle just subscribed to the channel, so everybody say hello to Damien. Roderick says, Happy New Year. Thought Roman getting COVID was fake news, then tuned into day one at the start of the main event. Surprised Big E took the fall. Naif Al-Safar, $9.99 super chat. Happy New Year to Naif and to Turkey. Lamar Smith, I would not do Brock and Lashley at the Rumble. Lashley should win the Rumble, and you can do Brock and Roman at the Rumble since he is a free agent. Interesting. So Brock is the WWE champion, but he does not defend it at the Rumble. Instead, he tries to win a second championship by going after Roman. Lashley wins the Rumble, goes to Mania, challenges Brock. I like that idea. I like that idea. And you probably end up doing, I would guess, Roman and Drew. you know, if not Brock, Roman doesn't have any other opponents. They have done a piss poor job of building anybody up. It has to be Drew McIntyre. It can't be anybody else. So you could have Lesnar. I just fused the two together. It's like that one picture of Barack Lesnar from many years ago. You could do Lesnar and Lashley for one title of WrestleMania, and you could do Roman and Drew for the other. And that could be sort of your double main event, night one, night two. I like it. Roderick Welch, do you think the match would have been better without Lesnar? It certainly would have been longer, and they have to do Lashley against Lesnar at Mania now. No, I think the match was better because Brock was in there. Not that I was expecting it to be a bad match, but Lesnar being in there, I don't know, Lesnar, some of these multi-man matches that he's been in, Lesnar really, he works really well in these multi-man situations. Usually he takes a break on the outside, they take him out for a few minutes, right? He's usually the primary target, and then he'll come in, like when you least expect it, he'll slide back into the ring, he'll be a house of fire, he'll be throwing people around. They did that with him in the triple threat with Rollins and Cena at the Royal Rumble, and they did that with him in that Fatal 4-Way at SummerSlam, where it was him and Roman and Joe, and was it Strowman? I think it was Strowman back in 2017. Or 2016. 2016 or 2017. 2017, maybe. So, I don't know. Him in these multi-man matches with like 3, 4, 5 other people, usually they end up being really fun matches. Mike Hamilton. Full Gear was better. Thank you for the $2. Joseph Brooks, buy or sell on which title win was more deserving and more surprising, Mark Henry in 2011 or Kofi Kingston in 2019? The Kofi Kingston one was more surprising to me because it's just not something I ever thought would happen. The Mark Henry one was more... you know, deserving is a funny word. I don't know if deserving is the right word, but when he won it, like, I felt happy for him because he had been through so much with all the injuries over the years. He's another one who I never expected would be a world champion. It just felt like he was made of glass and he was always getting hurt. Every time they tried to give him, like, a big monster push, he would go down with an injury. Even when he won the title, a few months later, what happened? Why did his title reign come to an end? Because he got hurt. He just could not stay healthy. But when he won the championship and Randy Orton put him over and he was doing the whole like Hall of Pain thing, man, I was into it, man. That was great. And I was genuinely happy for him. Kofi was the more sort of, fulfilling, like, emotional moment. I was in the building that night. You had people crying in the audience. Like, it was an emotional thing, you know, to see him and the New Day in there celebrating. And Kofi brings his son in there. His son is standing on the ropes, throwing shirts out to the crowd. Like, it was a great moment. Mr. Andrew, $5 super chat. I don't want Roman 2 belts at Mania. All this effort to make Roman the GOAT when he just was going to leave for Hollywood in 3 years. Big E's reign was bad. His reign will not be remembered as anything special. But I'm also not convinced that he's done yet. You know, again, he could end up with the belt again at some point. I wouldn't count him out just yet. James Cooper with the 1999. Happy New Year, Solo Monster. Happy New Year to you as well. Wasn't able to make it to the New Year's stream, so this is to make up for it. Brock against Lashley could be fun if they do it right. I am from the Seattle area, hoping to attend an AEW show this year. Well, AEW has to go out west first. They're going to be in Vegas, I think, for Double or Nothing, but they have not... I don't think they've run any other buildings on the West Coast, right, outside of the MGM for Double or Nothing that first year. So they have to first make a West Coast swing, which I'm almost positive they'll make a West Coast swing and a trip to the UK at some point this year. Quintus Brown, Brock, the New Day title reign killer. Feels that way. Ed Weber, there were a dozen different ways they could go with that match. Instead, they went with the most WWE of finishes and completed the burial of Big E. They didn't do him any favors. He was literally buried. He was buried under Brock Lesnar as the referee counted 3. King Bling Blah, Lashley wins the Royal Rumble and challenges and beats Brock. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Pro Wrestling and Video Game Fan 486 sent in a $4.99 super chat. WWE once again goes back to the part-time world champion. Owens and Rollins were screwed over. Well, Kevin Owens doesn't have anything to complain about because he just re-signed with them a few weeks ago. So he knew exactly what he was getting into here. Right? Drew Johnson, Salamasa, you're being way too forgiving to WWE. That main event was a joke. Rest in peace to Big E. Dorenzo with the $7 super chat. Honestly, I could see WWE doing the story off Roman being so pissed that he makes it his mission to unify the belts despite Brock. Honestly, the having two world champions is kind of stupid. Caleb Lindley was at the show tonight. Usos and New Day are just magic. And Brock winning was a shocker, but makes Mania season unpredictable. Roman was missed. VYB and stuff. With Brock and Roman as the main champions, we're not going to see a title change until 2030. Caleb, again, packed house and great crowd here in the ATL tonight. Mordecai McNasty. Unpopular opinion. I miss Lone Wolf Baron Corbin and that End of Days theme. Even though he was going bald, I felt that gimmick and look had something. No, the look had to go. The whole skullet thing, the best thing he ever did was shave the head. And I actually liked his old music, but Lone Wolf Corbin, Lone Wolf Corbin in NXT when he was insulting all of the indie wrestlers and telling them to go back to Ring of Honor when some of them never worked for Ring of Honor will always be funny to me. That version of Baron Corbin was actually very good. That and the broke-ass bitch version of Corbin. That is when he was at his most entertaining. Sean Waters, $10 super chat. I have had 3 kidney transplants, so I can relate to Roman as being immunosuppressed. Back in May, got COVID, and luckily I am okay, and I hope Roman will be okay. I do as well. I think he'll be fine. But you never know with these things, right? When you have cancer, when you have something very serious like that, you know, even if you're in remission, who knows, right? Anything can happen, so... Hopefully he's okay. His health is the number one priority right now. Doesn't he have like 2 sets of twins? I think he's got like 4 or 5 kids. He's got a big family. So the most important thing is that he gets better and hopefully doesn't infect anybody else. Christopher with the $4.99. Both members of New Day lose the title to Lesnar. You could call it poetic booking, but we know they don't plan that far ahead. James Gruesome with the 99 cent drop. Thank you, James. Mordecai again. If Ford goes heel, Solo Dawkins will end up in Impact with some of the former members of Hit Row trying to make an off-brand Hit Row wannabe faction. Gary Chilpa. Should Liv Morgan win the Royal Rumble? No. Liv Morgan's push is dead. On to the next. Biblical Adrian, $5 super chat. Whose old theme did you like the most? McIntyre, Broken Dreams, or Lashley, Hell Will Be Calling Your Name? Not a fan of a lot of current theme songs. Oh, McIntyre, Broken Dreams. And he's been dying to bring it back, maybe at WrestleMania. He's been trying to convince them for a long time to use the old music. You know, I gotta say, I really love Lashley's current entrance, his whole entrance with the video that plays, and then you get like that tribal chant, like, and then it goes into his theme song. I love it. He comes across as a big deal when he comes out there. He comes across as the Almighty. It fits his nickname. I like it. The only thing I don't like is when I play his theme, when I find it on the WWE YouTube channel that has all the music, or I find it on Spotify. It doesn't have the tribal chant at the beginning of it. You got to put the tribal chant in there. Oh, and then go into the song. Maybe somebody can mock that version up for me. V. Wells, $1.99. Thank you, brother. Devin Liffey, we all matched this. Why are you explain? We all what? We all matched that. First of all, you can't spell. That's number one. Number two, it's a fucking review. So not everybody watched the show. In fact, there are a lot of people who do not watch the shows anymore. They want to keep up with what's going on by listening to podcasts and watching YouTubers. And so therefore, you can go through each match and you can highlight the key spots and some of the key maneuvers. You don't have to go headlock, chinlock, drop down, takeover. But you explain to people the high points and the low points of the match and what happened in the finish. And that's called a review. It's called a recap. That's how these things work. No, there are not a lot of people who watch these shows anymore compared to what they used to be. A lot of people only tune into YouTube reviewers to find out what the hell's going on these shows. Drew Johnson, $5 super chat. Edge and The Miz is a joke. This is the best they have for Edge. No wonder Danielson left. Don Juan, $4.99 super chat. Your imitation of Beth Phoenix is me when I'm with my girl and I... Oh, boy. Don Juan is still hungover from New Year's. Brian Blair, if I watch this again, which I won't, I'll have to pipe in Solomonster's grrr sound while Beth is standing there. I'm telling you, she's so angry. She is so angry in that shot. Biblical Adrian, what's keeping the brand split going at this point? That's a good question. You know what it is? More than anything else, stubbornness. That's what it is. Mr. Notorious Dez. I constantly hear Vince McMahon is a creative genius, but as the years have gone by, it seems Pat Patterson was the unsung genius. What are your thoughts? Pat Patterson was actually very creative when it came to match finishes and certain ideas, so Vince had a lot of help along the way. He had a lot of help along the way. I can't believe I had to actually explain to somebody what a review is. Like, it's January 2nd now, and I'm already sitting here having to explain to people what a review is. Like, I am blown away by that. Simi Valley, what's up, Solomonster? It's been a while. Any early predictions for winners of the men's and women's Royal Rumble matches? Well, I'm not doing predictions yet. It's a little early for that. You know, I think Bianca goes to WrestleMania to challenge Becky, but that doesn't mean she has to win the Rumble again. You know, you could have Sasha Banks. I think Sasha Banks is my early pick for the women's Rumble. The men's, I'm not sure yet. Again, it's a little early. I'm not sure on the men's side. On the women's side, if I had to give a name, Sasha's looking like the one right now. Quintus Brown, PW Insider, is reporting that Drew could be out for a while with a neck issue. If he is out, SmackDown is screwed. Uh-oh. Well, what did I say when they shot the angle? It just reeked of an angle to write him off of television. But if he's got a neck problem... You know what? Let me see here, actually. Let me look up the item from PW Insider and see what Mike Johnson is saying. And I will give you guys the update right here and now. So here we go. So WWE is announcing a... Now, this is their phony injury update. They're announcing a cervical neck strain with severe contusion. Boy, they love their contusions. They love their contusions. I had a contusion the other day. Upon further evaluation by medical staff, he will have a follow-up with an orthopedic cervical specialist. Now, here's the update from Mike Johnson. The word backstage is that the angle... Let me turn the music off here for a second. The word backstage is that the angle was brought about by some legitimate neck issues that McIntyre has been dealing with of late, necessitating him needing to undergo medical testing. So WWE wrote him out of storylines with the Attack to be proactive about the situation. There's no word on how long McIntyre could be out of action for, but the hope among those we've spoken with is that it will end up being a short-term in-ring hiatus. Until McIntyre gets checked out, it is up in the air. And there were quite a few people over the course of the night who pointed out how insanely hard McIntyre has been going in recent weeks despite the neck issues, including multiple times a night over the recent live event tour that saw him doing tag matches against the Usos and then pretty stiff street fights against Sheamus. One person noted that McIntyre went down swinging to injury for the company. McIntyre was wearing a neck brace when he left the pay-per-view tonight. We will update you when we know more. That is not good. That is not good at all. Going in for those neck tests, boy, if that comes back with a bad result, they are screwed on that SmackDown side. But it just goes to what I always say. Why in the world would you not want to have at least a couple of different people built up enough to be on standby? If your top guy or one of your top guys goes down, you've got somebody else who you can always slide right in there. It's WrestleMania season, and outside of Brock Lesnar and Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns does not have anybody. Unless they go back to somebody he's already beaten, like a Finn Balor or somebody like that, and Finn Balor is not even on SmackDown anymore, so what am I talking about? There's nobody else. And if Drew goes down and Lesnar's going to be doing something with Lashley, I guess he wouldn't be. If they didn't have anybody else, he'd have to go back to Roman. They're fucked. And they lost Roman tonight. Who's to say they can't lose him again? Who's to say the next fucking strain of COVID is going to attack us in March? You know, we've had Delta, we've had Alpha, we've had Omicron, we have, you know, Abercrombie and Fitch will be the next fucking strain. And he tests positive and they have to keep him off the show. What do they do then? You know, this is the sort of thing they have to be concerned about. This is why you want to have other pitchers in the bullpen when your pitcher goes down to an injury. They don't have a lot of pitchers. That bullpen is empty. That's a problem of their own making. I don't have any sympathy for them. They did it to themselves. This is all on them. You put all your eggs in one basket or two baskets, and this is what ends up happening. The lack of depth at the top of the card on both of those shows is shocking, considering the level of talent, the amount of talent that they have under contract in that company right now, on the main roster, in NXT. The fact that they're even in this situation, we may end up getting Bron Breakker against Roman Reigns for the Universal title at WrestleMania. And you know what? I'd be okay with that. Because Bron Breakker is pretty fucking good. But they may have no choice. I'd rather take Bron Breakker against Roman Reigns than Von Wagner. Fucking Von Geek over there. Hopefully everything is good with Drew McIntyre. Neck issues are not something that you want to be messing around with. So once we know more, I will give you guys the update. Cameron Spencer, $4.99 Super Chat. Both these matches sucked so much that it was humorous. What was the funnier zombie match? Dexter Lumis against Cameron Grimes or Damian Priest against The Miz? I didn't find anything funny about Priest and The Miz. I thought it was fucking embarrassing. Lumis and Cameron Grimes, at least the way that whole thing was played off as, you know, goofy from the moment the storyline started. So I was more entertained by that than I was what we saw on, was it WrestleMania Backlash, I guess? Red Emissary of Darkness, Brian Alvarez tweeted that it's likely title against title, Brock against Roman at WrestleMania. I want to know what he smoked to think that that's happening. I'd be surprised if they went through with it. I really would. But it's an idea that I pitched because I think that it's something that needs to be considered. You know, ending this whole two world champions bullshit and having one champion. You have one person who is the guy that you want that title on. Because if not, Big E, And anybody else who holds that championship is going to come off as inferior to Roman Reigns, no matter who it is. Hey, Navid, thank you for the sub. Welcome to the channel. Nier says they are... there's one of our new super chats. Wasted. Madcap Moss. Look at that shot by Kofi Kingston. Look at that. Boom! Right to the back of the head. You could not have timed that any better. That was from the Christmas Eve SmackDown. Anyway, Red Emissary of Darkness, thank you for the $5. But Nier was saying that they're on the phone as we speak with Bray Wyatt. Oh, they may have to be. They're going to have to try to claw back some of that talent that they got rid of. Steven, thank you for that Hundy Bomb earlier on in the stream. It says, Happy New Year. Here is to another year of excellent content. Thank you, sir. I am going to always try for you guys as hard as I can to give you the best content I possibly can, and that's all I can do. As long as you guys keep coming back and keep tuning in, I'll be here. PW Hustle. Diversity was no match for the Beast. LOL. A-Track, what's going on? I hope you're doing well. Happy New Year, my friend. Chief Cutie. There's still a story to tell with Reigns and Rollins. I wouldn't mind Rollins winning the Rumble and facing Roman Reigns. Yeah, I don't know. He'd have to go babyface for it. So, babyface Rollins against Roman Reigns. You could tell that story. You could do that. King of Doug style. People can hate Brock part-timing all they want. When that guy is involved, people pay attention. Also, hit that like button and rest in peace, Betty White. That's right. Pour one out for Betty White. 99 years old. She's only a few weeks shy of her 100th birthday. I said on the New Year's stream last night, it's like getting tackled at the one-yard line. Life can be cruel sometimes. Ian, Becky Lynch is still the Raw Women's Champion, as I predicted she would be. Behind the Fiends, $4.99 Super Chat. When AJ showed up on NXT, I kind of thought to myself maybe him moving over there would be good for him to work with new talent. What are your thoughts? No. I just got done talking about how the lack of depth on Raw and SmackDown in terms of talent is startling. The last thing they need is to lose a name like AJ Styles by sending him down to NXT 2.0. That is the last thing they could afford, is to lose AJ Styles to the third string developmental brand. That would be a terrible idea. In a different time, maybe you send him down there for a little bit, but right now they need all the help they can get. That would not be a good idea. Joseph Brooks, did you notice Brock got no offense on Lashley? I did, actually. Yeah, I did notice that, now that you mention that. He ate two spears from Lashley, one through the barricade, one in the ring. Lashley got him in the Hurt Lock. And yeah, that's true. Brock did not get any offense, any real offense in on Bobby Lashley. They actually protected Bobby from Brock, which tells you right there that those two are not done yet. It's only a matter of time before Lesnar is suplexing Bobby Lashley around the ring. But they spared him tonight. They spared him for a reason. Let's see. Mr. Burlington, Cack Burlington, Brock Roman, WrestleMania 38, best 2 out of 3 vaccination on a poll with the booster shot held by Heyman and required to win the second fall. I've heard of ridiculous stipulation matches, but... That one might be the most ridiculous. Nier, yeah, I believe me, from my own family experience, I know how exhausting those chemo treatments can be, but keep your chin up, brother. Hopefully they are doing what they are supposed to do. You know, it's one of those things where they're pumping all this poison into your body. And you probably think to yourself sometimes, what am I doing? Like, why am I doing this? But if it does what it's intended to do in the end, it's worth it. So, I hope that it goes as smoothly as possible for you. Hopefully, if it makes you tired, I hope that's the worst of it. I hope that's the worst possible symptom you can have. And you tolerate it well. Everybody tolerates that stuff differently. But we are thinking about you. I was just thinking about you the other day, actually. I saw your name pop up somewhere. I don't remember where it was. But happy new year to you, brother. I hope 2022 is better to you than 2021 was. Rizzo, as I've said before, I only watched the pay-per-view. Sorry, premiere event. And I watched the Roman segments. Don't watch Raw or AEW. Boy, you know, Tony Nese, he left the company at the wrong time. He calls himself the premier athlete. Now, he should, if he were in WWE, he could appear on these premier events. Instead, he's sitting in the crowd as a fan at the AEW shows. Actually, it looks like they're setting him up to be sacrificed next to Hook. Alberto Ortiz, $4.99. I'm one of them. I haven't watched WWE since 2018. I rely on you to tell me what happened. Thanks, Sully. Yeah. There are some people who don't realize that when I say this, I'm not just saying it to, like, make myself look good. I hear from people every single week for the last few years who tell me I don't watch the shows anymore. In some cases, it's just WWE they don't watch. In other cases, they just gave up on wrestling completely, but they still want to know what's going on. They can't, like, it, you know, it's in your blood. You can't get it out. You're still kind of interested, but you're not interested enough to actually put the TV on and watch every week. So you listen to podcasts and you watch YouTubers like me and other people to keep up with what's going on. I hear it every single week, more and more and more, especially with WWE, more and more and more. So I, you know, I'm the beneficiary of that. That's great. I take that responsibility. But it's also very sad. You know, it's sad that there are people who just, they just give up. They just can't take it anymore. I wish it wasn't like that, but it is. Joe B with the $5. Brock against the Royal Rumble winner and Roman against Goldberg. You're going to bring that name up now? Roman against Goldberg on night one of WrestleMania, with the two winners facing each other for both titles on night two. Interesting. So you're suggesting, let's say if Lashley wins the Royal Rumble, you do Brock against Lashley on night one and Roman against Goldberg for the Universal title. And the two winners face each other for both belts on night two. It's almost like a Wrestle Kingdom type of thing, right? In a way. You know, I mentioned Goldberg and I kind of roll my eyes, but the reality is, especially if Drew goes down with this neck stuff, if it becomes a serious issue, Goldberg has one match left on his WWE contract. He's got one. So he is going to wrestle at least one more time. Now, they may do a Saudi Arabia show in February. They haven't announced yet. If the Saudi prince wants Goldberg on the show, then that's where he'll be. But I would guess that Goldberg's last match would be at WrestleMania. They never did Brock, or they never did Roman against Goldberg. They were going to do it 2 years ago. They didn't do it because Roman went home. You could do Roman and Goldberg at WrestleMania. They may not have a choice. They may not have a choice whether they want to or not. Goldberg may, think of how pathetic that is. If Goldberg ends up being the only viable option for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania this year. I could tolerate that a little bit more with your idea, though, where you kind of burn it on night one and then bring him back on night two and do, let's say, you know, Roman and Lesnar again or something. I don't hate that idea. I don't hate that idea. The only thing with Goldberg is he did this interview the other day, and he said that it was on the Pat McAfee show. He was on Pat McAfee's show, and he said that he has a shoulder issue that he needs surgery for. And if he has surgery for it, then he's done for like many months. So I think what he's doing is holding off on having the surgery. He may want to have that one last match in the next few months and then go and have the surgery. So if his shoulder is not too bad where he can't have a match, he'll probably do the match at WrestleMania or if they do a Saudi show. If the shoulder is so bad he needs to have it operated on, then he's not wrestling anytime soon. So it really depends on what his physical condition is going to be. But you got a 50-something-year-old Bill Goldberg with a bum shoulder who's going to be trying to lift people up for a jackhammer, someone as big as Roman Reigns. I don't think that sounds like a very smart idea, do you? Ryan Spies, AEW fears Deadlock Pro. I don't know what that means, but thank you, Ryan. Drew Johnson, Solid Monster, don't get upset with that idiot saying, what is a review? You are the GOAT. Love being a part of your channel. Drew, I will never get angry at you. I enjoy your company here on these streams. Chris Madsen, how valuable do those released talents look like now? You know what? They're valuable, but they still have so much talent under contract. They probably don't even spend 1 second thinking about it. Chris Bello, in a champion against champion situation, how would the Royal Rumble winner fit in? Well, that's where the idea that Joe just talked about could come into play, where you have the Rumble winner get a title shot on night one, and then whoever wins goes on to defend in night two. That would solve that problem. And M. Mills. Is that Michelle? $5 super chat. Thank you for the support tonight. I appreciate that. So that was a full stream right there. We had some breaking news on Drew, who, again, hopefully his neck turns out to be okay. We have a new WWE champion. His name is Bork Laser. He is the new champion. Roman Reigns has COVID. He was not on the show tonight and will not be on the show for at least another week, I would imagine. And all the best to him. And Becky Lynch is still the Raw Women's Champion, and the push of Liv Morgan is over. Dr. NXT Scorpio, imagine WWE having Drew, after coming back from his injury, start having him say, by the power of Grayskull, I have the power, I'll show myself out now. Hey, I used to be a big He-Man fan when I was a kid. I've told the story of me running through my living room with my sword, right into the recliner. Boy, I tore the shit out of that thing. That's all I would do. I would run around going, by the power of Grayskull, to the point where my parents got sick of it. And they took the sword away from me. Oh, me. Well, I usually save this for the AEW streams, but why not? Let's be the booker. Be the booker. WWE may need my help. Hey guys, you know how to reach me. If you need some help booking some matches heading into WrestleMania, it looks like they're going to need all the help they can get. I'll book you some matches right here. I'll tell you what, we're talking about the WrestleMania main event. Let's book it right now. Let's book the WrestleMania main event right now. See what we come up with here. We got Keith Lee. We got Bearcat. Bearcat Lee. One of those talents who really could come in very handy right now for WWE had they not gotten rid of him. Boy, would it be nice to have Keith Lee around, wouldn't it? To challenge Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns or Bobby Lashley. Who's the Bearcat going to get in the ring with? With Booker T. Very appropriate that Booker would be chosen here in the Be the Booker segment. Booker T against Keith Lee. Not a bad match. I could buy that as the main event of one of the nights of WrestleMania, both guys in their prime. I'll allow that one. I'll allow that one. Let's go over to the ladies. See if we do any better or any worse. I don't think it's possible for me to do worse than what I did last night on the New Year's stream. Stephanie McMahon and Rosa Mendez. I can't imagine that there's anywhere to go but up. Let's take a look and find out here. We've got Lana. Oh boy. Lana one-on-one. Lana and Melina in the main event of WrestleMania. Boy, man, I am not having any luck with these ladies. Well, I mean, that goes without saying. I'm not having any luck with these ladies here in these Be the Booker segments. We've had a couple of good men's matches, though. I'll say that much. We've done okay on the men's side of things. Automatic fail. Yeah, no, my finger was on the buzzer almost. Once I saw Lana, my finger was on the buzzer almost instantly. I didn't even have to wait to pick the second person. I was hitting the buzzer no matter what. Anyway, I want to thank you guys for choosing me for your day one coverage. It is now officially day two. I am getting ready for a big, big podcast tomorrow. Episode 737 of the show. I have a lot to get into. We're going to talk about the fallout from everything that happened tonight. I am going to get into the whole Tony Khan Big Swole thing again. We'll talk about that. Tony Storm. It seems like so long ago that Tony Storm walked out on WWE, but it was only a few days ago. I'm going to talk about Tony Storm, talk about NXT predictions for New Year's Evil. And the big attraction on the show is I'm going to be running down my top 15, ranking the top 15 best wrestling matches of 2021 and naming my wrestler of the year. That's all coming up on the podcast. The first podcast of 2022 coming up tomorrow, episode 737. I hope you will tune in. I hope you will join me. I hope you will stream. I hope you will download. However you usually listen to the shows, I hope you will tune in and drop me some feedback on Twitter when you're done. Abdul Rahman with the $2. It's Sami Zayn's time now. Sami Zayn is your next Intercontinental Champion. Not Universal Champion. And Dr. NXT Scorpio, good job, Booker of the Year. Well, I try. What was the Barry Horowitz, right? He used to do the whole pat on the back thing. He had the handprint on his shoulder. He would pat himself on the back. Put it this way, I've seen worse booking. I've seen worse booking. There are companies that could do far worse than the Sala Monster. Big Bad Booty Daddy, I will be talking about Wrestle Kingdom briefly on the show as well. I'll give some very quick predictions tomorrow for Wrestle Kingdom. I guess I should mention it now. I will be reviewing the first two nights. I don't know about the third one, but first two nights of Wrestle Kingdom. I don't know what format it'll be, if I'm going to be live or if I'm just going to record audio. I don't know yet, but I will be reviewing Night 1 and Night 2. I am going to be live on Tuesday night, not for Wrestle Kingdom, but I will be live after NXT New Year's Evil. So the next live stream, mark it down, Tuesday night after 10 p.m. When NXT goes off, you come back here, we'll do a recap. And then Wednesday, the first Dynamite of the year. First Dynamite on TBS, Hangman Danielson, that's on Wednesday night, and then on Friday night, the double stream, SmackDown and Rampage. And then next Saturday, it is the Friday night Saturday night fight special that they're doing on TNT. I'll probably go live after that as well. Boy, it's a lot of live streams. You're going to get a lot of the Sala Monster this week. So I hope you guys are ready for that. Anyway, be well. Stay safe. Thank you for all of the love. All of the Happy New Year messages I want to wish all of you. If you were not on the stream last night, and if you were, I'll say it again. I wish all of you a very Happy New Year, and we're going to blow it out, have an even bigger year this year here on the stream, and I hope that you will stick around and be part of it with me, be part of the growth of the show and the growth of the channel. And that's all I got. It's been a long weekend, and it's not over yet, so I will see you guys tomorrow for episode 737. Until then, take care, guys.